made this.
Songs get stuck in our head all the time. You could be brushing your teeth, sitting at your desk, or just walking down the street, and your brain can throw the most random of tunes at you, and they just won't go away. My name is Carl Bryan, and I'm the world's first brain surgeon slash therapist slash jukebox repairman. In this show, I sit down and talk to a guest, and offer to remove the songs they have in their head that they love, hate, or have no idea why they're there. Aiding me in this mission is a jukebox automated extraction droid that I purchased from Walthamstow Market. Say hello, Jax.
Hello, love.
Warning, this show contains earworms of a highly contagious nature, but if they do get you, we can help.
This is...
Welcome to the Starlight Ballroom, hey!
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to this, a very special episode of Cerebral Jukebox. Well, it's not quite an episode of Cerebral Jukebox, more a sort of cerebral and comatose, where my two podcasting worlds are colliding, where myself, Carl, obviously your host here at Cerebral Jukebox, is going to be chatting to some of my fellow co-hosts from my other podcast, Shipwrecked and Comatose. Comatose?
Talkie Toast has got in.
Exactly. Shipwrecked and Comatose, a Red Dwarf podcast. So please welcome to the show, Mark Adams.
Hello.
And Colin Jackson Brown.
G'day. I do not know why I said that in an Australian accent then. Yeah. Hello.
You're an odd soul.
And today we are going to talk about a certain piece of music, a certain song, which is very close to the heart, so I think, of every Red Dwarf fan out there. We're going to talk about Tongue Tied, but we're not going to talk about the original version that appeared in the episode Parallel Universe back in the 80s, but we're going to talk about the 1993 single release that came out, which was listed as being by The Cat. Not Danny John Jules, but The Cat. I saw you cross the dance floor dancing. I thought of birds and bees. So then I'll start with you, Mark. What did you think when you first heard that this song existed?
So I'd started watching Red Dwarf by this point, but I hadn't seen series 1 and 2 because I'd accessed them via VHS. And I saw that there was a single by The Cat, and I didn't realise that it had already been on the show. So I just bought it because I was a big Red Dwarf fan, and I put it on, and it's quite fun, isn't it? With zero context. The remixes are shite, though.
Yeah, we'll get to the remixes in due time about, and the slightly off-kilter way that they are. Colin, how about yourself?
Well, I don't know how, but I had entirely missed that this got released as a single. I was a big Red Dwarf fan already by 93. No, I wasn't. No, that'd be why. I wasn't quite into Red Dwarf yet. Yeah, because Series 5 hadn't been on yet. So, I had not quite discovered Red Dwarf, didn't know about the single, and it is only recently that I've known that it ever had a different version other than the one that we know from the series. Which is a slowed down, slightly princified version.
Yeah, I mean, with the two different, I don't know how you feel about it. I actually prefer the one that's in Parallel Universe. I don't know, how do you two feel about it?
Absolutely, definitely.
Mm.
It's, yeah.
I'm not sure. I first encountered it as the single, so I'd got used to it by the time I saw it in Parallel Universe. So I, in a weird way, I saw the Parallel Universe version as watered down with less production value, because I guess it probably was. But with hindsight, it does feel like it had a little bit more character to it than the pop song release.
It's got the what's missing for me is the defining feature of the version in Series 2 is you've got that really trebly, very, very dated, really over-compressed guitar that's just doing the sort of funk rhythm guitar all the way through, which isn't in the single version. And that is the bit that sticks in my head all the time. That is the bit that, you know, 3 o'clock this morning when I could not get to sleep for an hour, it was going through my head.
For me, it's actually the melody, the very, very start of it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That. It's not actually the lyrics that get stuck in my head. It's actually the melody, the introductory melody.
But, I mean, the masterpiece in both versions, for me, is the backing vocals. Because they're just utterly, utterly fantastic. Where you've got, you know, that's where all the comedy comes in. From it, where you know you've got the reproductive system, baby, a bit and stuff like that.
that's the bit that kind of sticks in my head, and I think it's because this was what 93 when it came out altogether. I was 11, no idea what that meant, not a clue. So like walking around the house going, reproductive system, baby, not a clue. I think my parents, yeah, just. I mean, as well with this, it's very 90s in its sound, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's very early 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's late 80s, early 90s, because it is totally the... There's. It's like for the single version, they've tried to make it like a Prince song, but also there's bits of like New Jack Swing in there, in the sound. But because it's... Because it's sort of a bit more of a parochial British version, it doesn't have the impact that Prince or, like, you know, New Edition or anyone like that had. And it doesn't sort of hit as hard, and it just seems sort of lacking in that version for me.
I think when I first bought it, I bought it because I'm a Red Dwarf fan, but at the time I was into kind of like early 90s indie, so like Wonder Stuff and Ned's Atomic Dustbin and Pop Will Eat Itself and other bands that were just that little bit too cool for the nerdy kid who was the son of one of the governors. And I didn't really listen to music that even resembled this, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have thought much of it if it hadn't been for the fact that it was linked to Red Dwarf.
Yeah,
it's a strange one, because you don't really get... In the 90s, you did get quite a few kind of celebrity tie-in songs. You had this. I remember for a long time, there was the version of Living Next Door to Alice with Roy Chubby Brown on.
Yeah, that was later, because that was when I was in high school. So I'm the same age as you, I think, Carl. So, yeah. I can remember people singing that in the playground at school and thinking it was hilarious.
Yeah, but no one really knowing who Roy Chubby Brown... Well, maybe some did.
I was going to say some did and they were the dickheads.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I'd never known who Roy Chubby Brown was, to be honest with you. I could do without it.
Yeah, but that early 90s period was a big kind of tie-in. You had things like Dr. Spin doing the Tetris theme song.
Oh, mate, now guess what I've got in my head.
Do you know a fun fact about that? Do you know who Dr. Spin actually was?
I don't, but I think you're going to tell me.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Holy shit.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
There was two people behind it, and one of the main ones was Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Good grief.
I remember that one very... And then we got things like Right Said Fred did a single for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, I think it was. So you got a lot of, like, if... Part of me was wondering, because I was watching a thing the other day about the KLF and how they wrote that manual of how to get a number one single.
Yes, the manual.
Yeah. And
yeah, because that Doctor in the TARDIS,
yes,
is their number one song that basically used all of the rules.
The Time Lords was the KLF?
Yes.
Fuck me, you're dropping knowledge bombs, the pair of you. You'll be telling me that Cliff Richard isn't his real name next.
Do you want to break it to him, or shall I break it?
I think he knows. I can't remember what it actually is.
It's Harry Webb, isn't it?
That's it.
It yeah. is Harry Webb.
I think at the time in the early 90s, it was if you got a hit telly show, which, as we were saying earlier, Red Dwarf was just hitting its popularity stride with seasons 5 and 6, that, I mean, they were all involved, so it must have had the backing of Grant Naylor. Do you think, I can't imagine Danny John Jules went off his own bat to do it.
No, I think they were all, I think it was an endorsed thing, definitely. And what I thought was quite interesting is in the video, you've got both Hollies.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yes.
It's, you know, Norman Lovett coming back to do Holly quite a few years after he'd left and years before he came back again. So that's really nice to see.
You'd also got Charles Orgins as Queeg as well, which made me happy.
Yeah. Well, he did the choreography for the original, as we discussed before. And he was Danny John Jules' dance teacher, so he's like his mentor.
Mm.
So that's the connection there. You'd also got the Elvis guy from Meltdown.
Yeah,
also in the video.
And Danny John Jules as his own backing singer, dressed as Dwayne Dibley as well. Brilliant.
And I was watching it on quite a low resolution YouTube thing. So for a while I was going, is that Shaking Stevens?
Brilliant.
I remember I think the first time I heard that this was happening was I used to read the Red Dwarf Smegazine.
Yes.
And they did a whole sort of article about it, and they were actually trying to explain why Robert Llewellyn and Craig Charles weren't Lister and Crichton.
Yeah.
And I think Craig Charles explained it as he's Craig Lister.
Yes.
Right.
I do remember that.
Good.
And Robert Llewellyn just pretty much said, I'm not getting in the makeup.
Yeah. Takes 9 hours. It can fuck.
I mean, do you think, with Danny John Jules having this kind of, having a big sort of musicals background and dance background, do you think it was the way he wanted it to be, or do you think he'd have probably had his druthers gone a different way with it, or?
I think he had a lot of input into this version.
So do I.
I got the impression from the way the video is, the way the extended video is, which we aren't going to talk about this time because that's for a future episode later on. I think it was his thing. And, you know, he'd got his... in the extended video, it's got all his other actors from Maid Marian and Her Merry Men turning up. So it's more his thing than a Red Dwarf thing, I think.
The extended version was something I wasn't aware existed until we started doing research for this special. And
I didn't find it until last night.
And it's fucking batshit crazy and definitely deserves its own episode. And we will look at that in future at some point, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, I think this was, I think probably... I would imagine that Danny John Jules was... This is closer to the stuff he was listening to at the time. Whereas Howard Goodall, who actually wrote the original song, I don't think it sounds like his sort of musical footprint as much. I don't know how much he was involved in the newer version. He may well have been. He's a very versatile guy. You know, he's done absolutely loads of soundtrack work. I did actually find on Spotify that he's done a really, really beautiful piano instrumental version of it.
I'm really chuffed that he started putting up some of the instrumental stuff.
Yeah.
Like the first season theme.
Yeah.
I love that piece of music. It's a fantastic bit.
Talking
of music.
About Spotify, right? I mean, the actual single of this is on Spotify, but unfortunately there's more than one artist called The Cat, so it's lost amongst a load of other random shit that is nothing to do with Red Dwarf.
Yeah, but if you search The Cat Tongue Tie, you can find
it. That's right, it is on Spotify.
It's the one with a picture of Danny John Jules as the cat.
I mean, Red Dwarf, we may not talk about it that much on the actual show, but Red Dwarf's a very musical show. Especially, it's got some very sort of iconic bits of music. Why is it, do you think, they never released a version of It's Cold Outside?
I don't know, because they could have easily done it and it being a hit.
It seems like a more obvious choice than this as well.
Yeah, particularly as it was still current, whereas this is a song from two or three series ago at the time.
Well, let's move into the remix territory that's on the single. I thought that It's Cold Outside, you can make a rockier version. You could certainly make a dance version out of it, because it's got that... You could do that. With Tongue Tied, what we've got is the... I think the most famous one on there is the Tabby Ranks remix.
Yes, which is horrendous.
They're all wretched.
Yeah, which, I mean, at the time, we're talking 93, so we're talking, obviously, Shabba Ranks, Jungle. Was Jungle just phasing out, or was it just coming in?
93 was pretty much the height of Jungle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was big.
Was Pliers still around?
As in Shaka Demus and Pliers?
Yeah.
I'm not so bothered about Shaka Demus. His name isn't as cool. I just think it's amazing that this guy got away with being called Pliers.
Yeah, I think they were still going. They're still going now, I think.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So, Mark, you're in Manchester. Were you in Manchester at the time?
93. I moved here in 97.
Ah, so you wouldn't have got down to Tongue Tied in the Hacienda or anything like that then?
No, the Hacienda closed about 6 months before I got here. Devo'd.
Would you dance to the Tabby Ranks remix in a club?
No, I'd go to the bar or have a piss.
Can you dance to the Tabby Ranks remix in a club?
No.
I think if you do dance to it, you've got to do that thing that they did in Parallel Universe where you dance like the cat and then somebody speeds it up for no discernible reason.
Gentlemen, as we always do on these episodes, is we offer the chance for you to have the song removed from your cerebral jukebox, or you can keep it from prosperity. Colin, we'll start with you. What would you like to do?
With how long I was awake with it going through my head last night, just rip it out. I'll watch it again at some point and it'll get back, but that'll give me at least a little bit of reprieve from it.
Okay, so that's one to be removed, Mark.
So, I've had it going through my head as we've been talking about it, which I didn't do when I was actually on Cerebral Jukebox with Edith Piaf. And now I've said Edith Piaf, I've now got that in my head. I think it's part of my being to have these songs that aren't really my genre of music, yet they continue to go around my head. So, my head says get rid of it, but my heart says don't. So I'm going to go with my heart and I'm going to say leave Tongue Tied.
Righto, so that's keeping it for Mark and getting rid of it for Colin. We'll get Jax straight on that for you.
Jax extraction system, baby.
Right then, so that is another one in the books. Mark, would you like to promote where people can find you?
I'm on loads of podcasts, mate. By the time this goes out, I'll have launched a new one. I'll just talk about that. It's a podcast about the stories behind people's tattoos, where I get a different guest each time to come and have a chat with me and tell me and pick a tattoo and then tell me why they got it. That's called Ink Stories. You can find it wherever you're listening to Shipwrecked and Comatose or Cerebral Jukebox. And that's at Ink Stories Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. And Colin?
So I've got two podcasts other than Shipwrecked and Comatose. Free with this month's issue, where me and my friend Ian, plus a different guest each month, listen to an old free CD from Kerrang, Metal Hammer, Enemy, that sort of thing, and discover the various horrors and delights within. You can find us by just searching Free With This Month's Issue, basically. You know how podcasts work. You're listening to one. My other podcast, also with Ian, but also with our friend Tracy, is We Dig Music. And you can find that We Dig Music PCast on Twitter, not the one that says We Dig Music, because they're imposters that existed before us. and basically each month on that we choose 10 songs each from a particular year, and then we vote on it and do a countdown of what our favourite songs from that year is. So we've just done 1985, and then we've got 2007 coming up next, and various other years throughout the space-time continuum. They're all on the We Made This Network, and they're all on WeDigPodcast.com as well.
Excellent. Right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
No worries, thanks for having us.
It was fun.
But until next time...
Oi, that's my line.
Thank you for downloading Cerebral Jukebox. Please don't forget to give us a like, a subscribe or a review, be it at...
Spotify, Apple, Google.
Or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in a bit more, we've got Spotify and YouTube playlists and our socials all over at Linktree. So you just need to go to linktr.ee/Cerebral Jukebox. Do stay tuned to hear about more shows on the We Made This Podcast Network. But until then, my name's Carl Bryan, this has been Jax.
Bye!
And we'll see you next time.
Hello everyone, this is Tony, Network Chief of We Made This. As you know, our podcast network brings together a brilliant assortment of talent who talk about all kinds of pop culture content, such as the episode you've just listened to. We're not going anywhere, but we'd love to keep the lights on for even longer if you're able to support our network on Patreon. For just £2 a month, you get your name in lights and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping us produce more great audio. And for £3 a month, you'll get your name in lights, but you'll also get access to an exclusive bi-monthly podcast from the We Made This talent pool on podcasting, pop culture, and, well, you tell us. We'll take your suggestions. For less than the price of a coffee per month, you can help keep We Made This going. Just head to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. That's patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And get the ball rolling.
Shipwrecked and Comatose, a Red Dwarf podcast, was created and produced by Mark Adams and Kurt North. You can find us on Twitter at Red Dwarf Pod, and we are part of the We Made This Podcast Network, which can be found online at wemadethispod.com or on Twitter at wemadethispod.
Elsewhere on We Made This. Frame to frame.
I mean, 2 years after he starred in this, Keanu Reeves became an action star with Point Break. It was only 2 years after this film.
Yeah, but Point Break is extremely camp.
Oh, yeah.
It's extremely overblown and extremely over the top. So Point Break is basically a homoerotic movie about surfers mixed in with a heist movie. So, you know, when you... I can see the lineage between them.
Yeah, so you're saying so there is a connection in tone between that and the sort of exaggerated style of Bill and Ted. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Like, that's what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it in better words.
Well, there are words on it. I didn't use bodacious, so I didn't get away with it. But...
Cerebral Jukebox.
I always like to draw from just as many different influences as possible, you know, just like... And that's just my taste, you know, I just like, you know, and I'm sure that's true of everybody really, but yeah, you know, like, so one minute I'll be listening to an opera aria, and the next I'll be listening to a Timmy Mallet or something, you know? I don't really like Timmy Mallet, but I was just trying to...
I was going to say, have you got any sort of dark pop secrets, but you may have just given yourself away then.
Life's milestones.
I wanted to be a rapper called Razor.
Nice.
Yeah, because my tongue was sharp like a razor, you see. Clever, right?
Can I call you Razor?
Yeah, I mean, if you want. I've been called much worse. So, yeah. Obviously, I spelt it incorrectly because rappers don't like to spell things right. So it was R-A-Y-Z-A because...
Nice.
Why? Because my tongue's sharp like a razor.
I think that that spelling as well almost emphasises the Midlands pronunciation. Razor.
Razor? Yeah, oh God, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I couldn't even escape it in my alter ego.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This Podcast Network.